reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Is a lamp brought in to be placed under a bushel basket or under a bed, and not to be placed on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be made visible. Nothing is secret except to come to light. Anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear." He also told them, "Take care what you hear. The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, and still more will be given to you. To the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel, Jesus continues with what he was saying yesterday with regard to the seed he would plant within us that's meant to bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. He says, when we've received this gift, we shouldn't keep it buried. Like a light, it shouldn't be put under a basket so that nobody can see the light, but should be put up high for others to see, not to attract to the candle, but to illumine the room. In the same way that he says that when we've received, we need to measure it out lavishly, because the more we measure it out, the more we pour it out, the more we will receive in return, not because God is a person who rewards only those he has formally rewarded, but it's in pouring these gifts out toward others that we become capable of receiving further gifts. Like muscles, the more we use them, the stronger we get. And generosity and these virtues, these great Christian habits, the more acts that are done that are good, the firmer the habits, the more easily someone will be able to receive what God wants to give in abundance. We have today a saint who showed this truth in the two main ways any one of us is supposed to show it. He showed it by using his human talents, and he showed it by corresponding to the incredible divine gifts God has given each of us. The beginning of this Mass, we prayed that we might grow in wisdom by learning from St. Thomas, and that we might grow in holiness by imitating his example. Those two things. It's imperative for us to study our faith. It's imperative for us to learn from the great saints the wisdom that can purify our mind and guide us. We prayed in the gospel verse today that your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. When we don't know, we walk in darkness. Ignorance is such a terrible thing, and there's a lot we can do about it. None of us here is going to be as smart as St. Thomas, but we can learn from him so that our path, our way, may be illuminated by the light of Christ. Do we study our faith, or do we think that what God wants is the level of our knowledge of faith that we had the day we were confirmed? This sacred duty of study for all of us, no matter what state of life we're in, no matter how old we are or how young, it is a sacred duty so that we might learn God's wisdom and live by it. That's the light that will guide our path. But then also taking the bushel basket off, being able to share that faith with others. St. Thomas Aquinas didn't have much time. He lived only until he was 49. He began teaching only when he was 28. But he used to have 6 secretaries walk with him everywhere as he would be dictating 6 different books at the same time. Now, we read a lot of books that are basically just stream of consciousness. Maybe there's some insights there, maybe something good, but not a heck of a lot of precision. When you read St. Thomas's works, they seem to be the masterpieces of 40 or 50 years worth of scholarship. And he was dictating 6 of them at the same time. Just 20 years, he left a library full of thick volumes like this, chock full of wisdom. we're never going to do that. But if he was able to do so much with the brain God gave him, the Lord's requiring something from the gift of the mind he's given us. But far more important with St. Thomas is not that he was smart, but that he was holy, that he loved the Lord, that this sacred study was a pursuit of truth, and he knew the truth had a name, and he knew that all the order in the world had come from God, and he could, like a hiker at the bottom of a mountain who sees these various streams coming down, he hiked up that mountain all the way to the summit, which is where he found God, and his study helped him to pray more. St. Thomas Aquinas wrote the most beautiful hymns we've ever had written about Jesus in the Eucharist. The Adoro Te Devote that we sing, the Tantum Ergo, the O Salutaris, the Laudes Eon Salvatorum, was all written by him for the first feast of Corpus Christi in 1264. And through those hymns, St. Thomas poured out his love for the Lord, which is the most distinctive part of his life. I'm always moved when I think toward the end of St. Thomas's life, when St. Thomas was praying before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and there was a crucifix above the tabernacle. And the Lord spoke to St. Thomas and said, "Scripsisti bene de me, Thoma. You have written well of me, Thomas. What would you want me to give you?" And St. Thomas, think about that for a second. You remember when Solomon was asked that question, "What would you like me to give you?" What a beautiful response came from Solomon. "Your wisdom, Lord. I want your wisdom." When St. Thomas was asked that question, he gave an even more beautiful response. What would we ask for if the Lord would give us anything? Thomas's response was, "Nisi te, Domine." Nothing but you, Lord. The Lord Jesus was his great treasure. And if anything in the whole world was capable of being received, he wanted nothing but the Lord. And after that experience that the Lord responded to that prayer and gave him literally everything, it was 3 months before he would die, St. Thomas said that all the library full of volumes seemed like straw, seemed almost nothing in comparison with the joy of knowing Christ Jesus in that intimate way. That's why St. Thomas was able to write such great Eucharistic hymns, because he so earnestly desired that union with the Lord that came fulfilled. And after he'd experienced, he recognized that nothing in the world, including being the greatest mind of his day and probably one of the greatest minds who ever lived, was nothing compared to knowing the Lord. And it's that holiness, that wisdom, that we have the ability to imitate and receive whenever we come to Mass. Let us ask St. Thomas, whose statue is right here looking over us every single Mass, to give us the same desire, so that as we come up to hear the Lord's word, which is a light for our path and the source of all wisdom, and receive his body and blood, we might say, "I desire nothing else, Lord, but you."